Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And of course, we move to the next, well, hopefully in the next few hours, we'll get a sense of or get the names of who is going to be released tomorrow. It's been an incredibly challenging time. Professor Bill Kolbrenner joins us. He's a professor of English, Bar-Ilan University. So does Ronit Eitan. She's a PhD candidate in the English department at Bar-Ilan University and creative director of Writing on the Wall. A very good morning to you both. How are you? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we're here.
Good morning. Oh, there we go. We're great. There we go.
To see you. Yeah.
So the week has been one of just tremendous emotional. I don't know. It's taken an emotional toll, and now everybody's about to go through this again. Bill, let's start with you. How are people managing this? How are they containing it? Are they managing this?
I think that's right, Howard. Nobody's really managing it. You know, on Sunday, I was also watching your Twitter stream and seeing the reaction in South Africa. and I think you're right. This is a six-part series, and we experienced the first part, or it's a play in six acts. It's the theater of cruelty that Hamas is performing on the Israeli people, the Jewish people. Howard, I honestly don't know how we're managing it. You know, for the first 3 days, I think after Sunday and Monday, we carried it into Tuesday. There was that elation. Mm. And then there's that thought again. We are going to find out the names of the hostages in 4 hours. We're going to go through that again, where we're watching on Channel 12 with Yonit Levy, our anchor woman, and we're trying to see, oh, are they alive? Are those three people alive? It's horrific what we're experiencing. So are we managing it? It's very hard.
Is it the same the whole country through, Ronit, as talking for Tel Aviv? I mean, are people caught up in it, or are we going to get to a stage where people just kind of carry on their days while this is happening?
Well, we're in the middle of, it's like a game. It's a game of an anxiety, a game of, you know, resilience, a game of, you know, of a waiting game. And I think, you know, the lesson that was taught in the past year and a half, that we can't afford to be really happy. We really just need to be very grounded and understand where we live. And yes, we were very, very happy in, you know, in the first 2 days. But then I saw Doron's face. We all did, you know, and the older woman, and we just, and she looked broken. She did. I mean, it felt to us, I mean, these are women, you know, and we keep forgetting that there's tragedy around their families as well. I mean, if you think about Shiri, you know, Bibas, her parents were killed on October 7th. I mean, it's insane to think about that. And we still don't want to really think about her family. I mean, we're all hopeful. So, I mean, for us here, and let's not forget that on Wednesday, there was a terrorist attack in Tel Aviv. Mm. So, I mean, to us, we're in the midst of these, you know, emotions. We don't know how to handle them. I don't think Israel knows how to handle them. We're very happy. We're very fearful. There's always the prisoners that we're exchanging, right? It's always hanging over our heads. You know, it's terrorists that are being released. But then we want to be very happy for these young women. So it's very hard for us to just locate our emotions with this. So we're, you know, it's everything is a bit by bit. It's a crazy time.
And the other thing to think about is that the hostages themselves have no idea really in terms of their own families, their own friends, what's happened to them. So they are entering back into this world. We've been dealing with this for 15 or 16 months. They're dealing with a lot worse, obviously, but they have no real knowledge of what has happened. That's a crazy thought.
It's like the guy. Sorry, Ronnie. Go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking about these women, and you know, they haven't been talking in the past week. You know, they were released, and we're trying to give them privacy. But we're all thinking, you know, what happened to them in the past year and a half.
It's an unspoken and thing that we all can't stop thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. It's frightening.
And you know, Howard, I think it's not only really us now. I have family in America who have really not been following or really relating or empathizing with anything Israeli, and then suddenly they see these three girls. It even makes it onto the front page of the New York Times. I mean, I don't know which one, but
Right.
they see them and they're like, "Oh." And suddenly I said to my sister, "These are the kids you want your kids to hang out with. These are our best kids. This is what you have to get." And they are floored. And then for a second, they know what we've been going through for 15 months.
Even just to add to that, the winner of this talent competition in Israel, and now the young woman who is about to represent Israel in the Eurovision competition, you read her story, and she lay under what bodies for hours and hours.
Oh my God.
It's stories we heard from the Holocaust when people were mowed down in excuse me, trenches, and lay there pretending to be dead so that they weren't killed. And this is a real story that's happened now, and she's representing Israel. It's this is the same week. These things are just coming at us from everywhere.
And her reaction was, I know I will get abuse. I know it's going to be very hard, but I mean, instead of her celebrating this accomplishment, going to the Eurovision, I mean, she is bracing herself to have everyone attack her. I mean, she's a survivor, and it's very hard. And her runner-up is an Arab-Israeli woman, which is also pretty incredible to have this, to show people around that, we're layered. It's not just one note, and people don't see that. They like to group us. That's what, they've been doing to the Jews forever, but we're very layered people. And so it's, to me, I feel elated that she's going there, but I'm also very fearful for her. I mean, it's tough there.
The obviously the support that the survivors and the hostages need is tremendous, but to some extent, it's really every citizen of Israel, every resident of Israel, every Jew around the world. I think we all most definitely need some form of group therapy. Maybe this is group therapy. I don't know.
Yes. I mean, I'm hoping that by the end of this, and I'm hoping there's going to be an end. That's what we want, just an end
Right.
of this. So we can just all just, I don't know, sing and just rejoice around a campfire. I don't know. Let's do something fun. But
Absolutely.
right now we're just, we're anticipating the next move. What's going to happen?
Right. Bill, if I can leave this question with you, because we are, as always, out of time. But the fact that this hostage release is taking place on Saturday, on Shabbat, is obviously a difficult one as well, and adds a lot more complexity to it. Give us your thoughts on that.
Howard, I would say to you, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. You know, I don't know. Are you asking if I'm going to sneak in and listen? I don't know.
That is where we leave it. We're not going to say anything about anybody because, gosh, who could be blamed? It is 8:31, Bill Kolbrenner. Thank you, as always, René. Thank you, as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. It's 8:31.